Welcome once again to Beef News and Notes, information for both the producers and the consumers of our great product, beef. Last week, we had Renee Korzak, a consulting dietitian for the Minnesota Beef Council, on the program talking about beef and good diet. Today, we have Dr. Grant Crawford on the program talking about another food topic, hormones in our food. What's the science behind it? A recent study showed that consumers are more concerned about hormones in their food than antibiotics. Grant, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mark, and thanks for having me on.
Well, many people know you, and I know you're kind of a guy that draws crowds when you're speaking somewhere. You're currently working with Merck Animal Health. Prior to this, you were with the University of Minnesota. What was your role there?
Yeah, I worked for the University of Minnesota for 5 years, and I was a beef extension educator there, which meant I worked with beef cattle producers around the state and around the country trying to improve efficiency, and also worked with a lot of consumers as well to let them know the ins and outs of beef production.
Okay, and I know you've rubbed elbows with a lot of producers in our area of the state, and I think it's true to say in any area of the state or this part of the country, we can really be proud of our cattle producers that we have out there caring for our cattle, and I sometimes I'm a little thin-skinned when I hear criticism on some of the things that people have a misconception of what we're feeding or doing with their cattle that they think isn't right. And you know yourself, these people are to be in the business for what it costs to be in, and the fact that they're feeding the same product to their family and friends, and we're proud of what we're raising. I think that you'd voice the same feelings, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. You know, it's cattle feeding is, you look at it historically, it's a break-even business. So people are generally not really getting rich off of it. It's something they really believe in, really believe strongly in, and they believe strongly in the welfare of animals. And like you said, they're feeding these products to their family as well. So they certainly believe in them.
Okay. So can you just give a little history on implants in cattle and how long they have been used?
Yeah, I can. And, it's certainly a question that comes up often today with today's consumer, and that's the hormone concentration in beef. And these compounds, these hormones, are not new. The two primary hormones are estrogen, which is just the estrogen that we think about. It's a natural occurring hormone that we include in an implant, a hormone implant, and then trenbolone acetate. Trenbolone acetate is a synthetic testosterone that as soon as it's implanted into animal, it's metabolized just like testosterone. So even though it's synthetic, it acts just like natural testosterone. Estrogen has been around for about 60 years as a hormone implant. Trenbolone acetate is a little bit newer, but it's still been around for around 30 years. So neither of these compounds are very new. Both of them are FDA approved hormones. They go through rigorous testing in order to be approved for use in beef cattle. And oftentimes that will take several years and several tests, and the tests include safety for humans, for animals, for food, and for the environment. So a very long and stringent testing process for these products to be approved. So all of these hormones are, like I said, they've been around for a while, are widely used, and have to continually pass tests to stay on the market.
All right. Well, you saying that they've been around for 50 to 60 years, it would be safe to say that I mean, that's a huge study in itself. Can you just compare the foods that we eat today and the amount of hormones in each food group and kind of compare to what beef has for content of hormones in that?
Sure. Yeah, one of the common misconceptions is that implanted beef cattle have extremely high hormone concentrations. And, you know, if you look around on the internet or read articles, you'll hear about cattle farmers pumping animals full of hormones. And that's really not the case. Typically, if we implant a steer, for instance, they'll receive about 200 milligrams of trenbolone acetate and 40 milligrams of estrogen in that implant, which is a very small amount when you consider that there's 454,000 milligrams in a pound, and we're talking about roughly 200 milligrams of trenbolone acetate. And the way these hormones work is they primarily stay in the bloodstream. Very little of the hormone actually is stored in the muscle tissue or the meat, And just to illustrate that, if we're talking about a 3 ounce serving of beef, so, you know, if we're talking quarter pound hamburger, pre-cooking is 4 ounces, post-cooking is probably closer to 3 ounces. That 3 ounce serving of beef, if it's from a non-implanted animal, will contain about 1.3 nanograms of estrogen. If that 3 ounce serving comes from an implanted animal, it will contain about 1.9 nanograms of estrogen. Now, if we're talking nanograms, a nanogram is 1/1 billionth of a gram, or if we consider a sugar packet, if we take one of those crystals of sugar out of a sugar packet and chop it into 1,000 pieces, that's basically what a nanogram is. So take two of those tiny pieces, and that's the amount of estrogen that's in a serving of beef from an implanted steer. Now, comparing that to some other common foods, if we take a serving or a 3 ounce serving of cabbage, that's going to contain about 2,000 nanograms, or about 1,000 times what we'd find in beef. White bread, just simple white bread, has about 51,000 nanograms, or about 27,000 times what we'd find in a serving of beef. And tofu is an interesting one. Tofu is a soy product, oftentimes used in this, as an alternative protein for people that don't want to eat meat. Tofu contains about 19 million nanograms of estrogen. And that's compared again to 1.9 nanograms of estrogen in beef. So 10 million times what we'd find in a serving of beef. So as you can see, any meat products are very low in hormone concentration. And the daily production of estrogen by an adult male is about 136,000. An adult female is about 480,000 nanograms. And a pregnant female is about 3.1 million nanograms. So we consider a serving of beef at 1.9 nanograms. It's a very small and really a trivial amount compared to other foods and compared to what we're producing naturally every day.
Okay. Well, the other night you brought up the same, you gave the same facts at that meeting down in Laverne, and I thought, you know, you're talking, kind of preaching to the choir there with all cattle feeders, but I think it's so good to get this out there. So bottom line, these are facts, and so if you're around the table over the holidays and somebody brings this up, there's a lot of facts that you just presented that are worth sharing with our consumers. So I just like to say thanks, Grant, for being on the program and giving us some great science-based facts, and just wishing your family a Merry and Blessed Christmas.
Thank you very much, Mark, and Merry Christmas to you and everybody who's listening.
All right. Until next week, thanks for listening, and we'll talk again.